It's getting late and well.
So here we are with Alisa Ensley, and she is the owner and president of SingForTheStage.com, which is a musical theater audition technique and voice coaching business. Alisa has sung with the BBC Orchestra in London. She's played Norma Desmond in both London and Broadway. And she had her own album called Journey Through the Fire. So I would love to welcome Alisa.
Thank you very much. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your extremely busy schedule to talk to us about musical theater and just show business in general.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. So how did you get started in show business, and why did you get started in show business?
Well, let me take it in two parts. From the time I was old enough to sing, my mother tells me that I arrived singing, I knew this was what I wanted to do. And when I was about 6 years old, I saw Nancy Sinatra singing "These Boots Are Made for Walking," and I thought, I can do that. So I started singing and acting and performing anywhere I had the opportunity. And I went to every audition I could get into. And I took lessons because I found that it was wonderful to have raw talent, but I needed to study to make the most of my talent and to acquire skills that would help me grow and nurture and expand the talent I was given. And I realized I could have all the talent in the world, but if I did not know how to effectively use it and know how to sing properly with solid technique, so I could eventually, thank goodness, sing 8 shows a week. And if I didn't have great material and know how to present myself, so I could show myself in my best light, then I would not have the success I wanted. So I got informed and I started training. And why did I get started in show business? For me, it was never really a conscious question of why. It was more of a matter of how to get into show business.
Okay.
I was born an artist and a singer, and for me, it's always been at the core of who I am. So it's always been.
Part of who you are.
It is part of who I am.
Okay. And so other than the fabulous accomplishments that I've started with, can you tell me some more about your greatest accomplishments?
Well, I'm hoping and thinking that they're still yet to come.
Okay.
But to me, doing what I love is a great accomplishment. Singing lead roles in London's West End and recording at Abbey Road Studios in London, where the Beatles recorded.
Oh,
and singing
very
with the BBC
cool.
Orchestra, like you had mentioned, and on a Broadway stage, and putting together a one-woman show and an album. There are so many great accomplishments in my life, but one of the greatest is the fact that I get to get up every morning and have my day be a combination of my own career as a performer and a teacher. And that in my teaching, I get to pass the craft along to my students and see their progress. Can I brag about one of my students for a moment?
Please do.
One of my students was just accepted to AMDA, the American Academy of Dramatic
Arts. Oh, yes. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm very proud of her. And another is in the running for the production of Ragtime that's just coming in from the Kennedy Center.
Okay.
And I have students who are constantly getting callbacks and booking jobs, and I just feel enormous pride and accomplishment. To me, that's an accomplishment, seeing them go out into the world with their gifts and achieving success. So this, to me, is one of my greatest accomplishments, and I'm really very proud of it.
Well,
along
congratulations.
With my work as an actor. Thank
yeah,
you.
You should be very proud of that.
I am.
As a teacher, because as a teacher, that's what we hope.
Yeah.
Is that our students see the kind of success, if not greater success, than what we've seen.
You know, it's very funny. I sometimes feel like a mother hen. When she called to tell me that she'd been accepted to AMDA, I was in sobs of tears on the phone because we had moved so far with her voice. And it had come in such a huge, huge excitement, and her voice had just moved so far beyond when she first started with me. I was just thrilled for her. And she got a $16,000 a year scholarship.
Oh, that's even better.
It's better. It makes me happy.
Yeah, that's great.
She's terrific.
That's great. Well, I know that you've been doing this for a while. We won't say how many years because we don't talk about those things exactly. But I know that with the span of your career and with your teaching career, that you've had your challenges along the way, as have some of your students.
Yes.
Can you just talk about a few of those?
Sure. Challenges. I would say my greatest challenge to date has been to learn to change my thinking. And learning not to take it personally, even if it has your name on it, to quote a very famous quote. You know, ours is a very competitive business with its own special challenges. So sometimes I know people think, and I, in the past, myself have thought, oh, what's wrong with me? Why didn't I get that part? They didn't like me. I sang horribly. Why didn't I sing what I'd planned?
Right.
You know, all of these things that go through performers' heads, and on. But the truth is there are so many variables out there that are out of our control.
Right.
That I have learned that the one thing that's not out of my control, and I really try to impress this on my students as well as keep it in my own life, is my attitude and my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we may talk a little bit about the law of attraction this evening.
Mm-hmm.
But in the law of attraction, they refer to a better feeling thought. And that has been one of the ways I've really dealt with my challenges, which is the premise of changing your energy to a higher vibration,
mm-hmm.
and using a better feeling thought so that by changing your energy, the things that match the higher vibration can be attracted to you. And a better feeling thought is a wonderful tool for me, even if it's ever so slightly, because one small change in thought, another can manifest, and before I know it, I'm on a whole new trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
So I would really say my biggest challenge has been changing my thinking, and it's a challenge on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
And that tool kind of helps me come back to, oh, I can do this, and it's not as big of a challenge.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So how has that manifested specifically for you in your professionally?
Oh, enormously.
Okay.
You know, I truly believe that I came into this life with what they call a guidance system, which has helped me to remain true to my original intent,
okay.
You know, why I'm here, and my reason for being. And I think I've had experiences and opportunities and people have been drawn to me that have helped me further and further in my career. So how it's helped me professionally is it's helped me be able to do what I talked about before, changing my thinking, and to stay focused on what I truly want,
mm-hmm.
what I truly want, where I'm going, how I want to get there, trying to keep the thoughts and the feelings on the highest vibration or the highest level I can, and having a conscious awareness of what I don't want.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Because I know what that looks like, and I don't mean sitting there and focusing on it, but I mean being aware of it. So I don't sit there. So I don't go there. And it works. It's what works for myself and a lot of my students.
Okay. So knowing both what you want and what you don't want helps you navigate your journey.
It really, really does. And it is truly a journey. Our business is show business.
Yes,
it
is.
And oftentimes they don't talk about the business part. but it is quite a journey. And it's a great ride if you're in with your heart and your soul. And I am.
And so I'm assuming that you also advise your students to operate that way as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think anyone who uses those tools of the law of attraction, positive thinking, but it's not just positive thinking because it's positive intention matched with reality.
Uh-huh.
And I think anyone who uses the process will find greater abundance coming into their life personally, professionally, and financially. I know I have, and I know my students have. And when many of them have used the tools, they've been able to take an experience, you know, because auditioning is a tricky business.
Yes, it is.
And they've been able to take those experiences and grow from them and shift their thinking about perhaps something that didn't go right. One of the things I like to focus on with my students is whenever you leave an audition, what worked? Not what
didn't work, but what worked.
Mm-hmm. And focus on that. And that's the kind of energy that you'll bring to you.
Right. Because when you focus on what works, more of what works will show up in your life.
Aha. It does. It does, truly.
Yeah. Because when you focus on what doesn't work, then that's what shows up in your life as well.
All the universe knows is, boy, she's in this
right.
dark place. Let's send her
so
more
let's
dark.
So let's send her more, right. more darkness. Right, right, right. Okay, so you mentioned it briefly, but you can't have achieved the things that you've have achieved and not had some financial success.
Well, I have.
That's a very good thing.
You know, a six-figure income is a good thing.
Yes, it is.
And
possible in this business.
Very possible in this business. If you kind of really subscribe to all the things we talked about, you know, you need to be prepared, you need to show up with the goods and all of that. And, of course, there's luck and there's kismet and there's all of that involved. But they say accomplishment meets preparedness, and that's what success is. And you have to be prepared. It has been, back to your question, financially rewarding. And one of the things I like to impart to my students is that when you're first getting started in a business that we call show, as they like to call it, you know, when you get your first financially rewarding job, it's imperative to be smart with your money.
Yes.
And to invest and seek counsel. You know, you and I both know a great counselor.
Right.
To find the best way to make money grow and work for you so you can be free to invest in yourself and in your training and your craft so you can continue to get work. And so often, I've noticed that the working actor is somebody who comes to terms with the business side of our profession.
Right.
And takes responsibility and owns his or her earning potential and power.
Yeah. And it's very true that when you are financially stable, you're more able to be creative.
Absolutely.
Because you are not focusing on, oh my goodness, how am I going to eat? You know, how am I going to pay for this class? How am I going to? And so I think that, and I know that you agree that the whole notion of starving artists is detrimental to the art.
It is, absolutely.
You know,
to
creativity.
Necessary.
It's not necessary at all.
No. I think that's why what I was just talking about is really important. Mm-hmm. And I think if you are able to stick with that and decide that you don't want to be a starving artist, there's so many other ways to be an artist and to continue to create that the possibilities are endless.
I agree. Mm. I totally agree with you. So, what advice would you give somebody who's just starting out in mm-hmm. show business?
Lots of my students are.
Right. I know they are. Or someone who has been in the business for a while and is thinking about recommitting, maybe left for a while and wants to come back in, or is doing one thing and wants to transition. What kind of advice would you give?
Well, it's kind of taking the starving artist and turning it inside out, realizing that you don't need to be a starving artist.
Okay.
And that you are your greatest asset. And that you're not competing with anyone but yourself.
Mm.
And so you need to know yourself as best you can to be able to present yourself. And in this case, your product, in the best possible light possible. And I know it's hard for many of us as actors to think of ourselves as a product.
Yes.
But in this business we call show, oftentimes that is how we are viewed. And this is where my previous advice of don't take it, even if it has your name on it, comes in. Because to move forward and succeed, you need to have a realistic awareness of who you are.
Right.
Where you might fit in terms of the type you are. And choose your material with both those things in mind. And to invest in yourself and your craft by improving your skills, taking class whenever possible.
Right.
So you can continue to grow and create in a supportive and nurturing environment. And I have noticed so many of my students benefit from being in classes. It gives them a forum to try out new work,
mm-hmm.
To get constructive, objective criticism, and to also test out any pieces that may be, you know, they may be doing currently in auditions that aren't working for them and finding out why. That's kind of my advice to anyone, either just beginning,
right,
re-entering,
mm-hmm. Repositioning.
Repositioning. A lot of people, they get to a certain age and they think, oh, I'm not this type any longer, or I'm not that type, or I'd like to shift streams, as it were.
Right.
Some people have amazing voices and they go into voiceover work, or
right.
Some people have phenomenal faces and they still sing, but they love commercial work or film work. I mean, it's all art and craft.
It is.
And if you approach everything from a storyline, in terms of any of those, you're set.
Right.
But to do that, you really need to know who you are.
Yes. You have to take the time to figure out exactly who you are and how you fit in the marketplace.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's important. We are our product, as awful as that sounds. There's just being realistic about that and saying, okay, that's fine. You know, but I, as a human being, am separate from my product. But I am seen as that.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what are some of your goals right now?
Ah,
I know. As a teacher, we're really good at helping our students
right.
with their goals. So tell me some of your goals right now.
I think, and not to be too large about it, but to continue to create and to grow through my art. In terms of a few specific goals,
mm-hmm.
I'm currently creating a one-woman show entitled It's All About the Lyrics, Songs of the Storytellers. And that's one of my goals, to get that up, get it mounted, and okay. bring it into the city in the fall.
Very good. Very good.
And also I have a project, you know, many of my students have requested that I create an intensive one-day masterclass.
Okay.
Because many of them get work and they can't study all the time. So I'm in the process of creating that so they can revisit and revise their material when they're working and not able to be in class and on a regular basis. There's so many wonderful, wonderful projects that I'm in the process of creating. I've just created a vocal warm-up tape, which maybe we can talk about in a bit. And that's one of my projects, getting that out into the world.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Absolutely.
Well, it's called Lisa's Ultimate Warm-Up.
Okay.
And I'm a firm believer. They used to giggle at me in London because, you know, singing Norma Desmond, it's a huge sing. It's an enormous sing. And it's really important to have good vocal technique, especially if you're singing 8 shows a week. And I think a lot of people who don't do it or haven't tried it don't understand how important that is. It's like a runner, you need to stretch and be trained. So I've created Elisa's Ultimate Warm-Up, and it's about 38 minutes long, and you can get it off my website. And I'm very proud of it because it's kind of a mix-and-match tape. It allows you to access your voice, your body posture, all of those things that need to be in place before you start singing.
Okay.
There are a lot of really wonderful warm-ups. A wonderful man named Bob Rodriguez, who's an amazing jazz pianist, is my pianist on it. And many of my students said, Elisa, make us a vocal warm-up tape. So it's basically the exercises that we do together in class, either in my private lessons or in my group classes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your website and your business and your class and everything.
Oh. Well, my business, as I think you know, is called Sing for the Stage.
Right.
And you can find me at singforthestage.com. And I designed it to help give the Broadway-bound performer the tools and technique that they need to consistently work as musical theater professionals.
Okay.
I offer several different courses. Can I tell you about those?
Please.
We mainly focus on musical theater audition technique, as I stated before, it's such a specific skill set that comes with, you know, its own requirements. I have a musical theater audition technique 1, which we offer on Tuesday evenings here in New York City, and Musical Theater Audition 2, which is a continuation to move through, which is on Wednesday evenings. And in both of those classes, by working with what is unique about you as a performer and then giving you a set of tools that tap into your uniqueness in a very practical and creative way, we cover the complete audition from the moment you enter the room and hand the pianist your music through our goodbyes and everything in between. Picking material and all that. I also have many private voice students who study with me because, as I said before, when you're singing 8 shows a week and auditioning in the day.
Yes.
Because, you know, people who are working on Broadway, you still are
auditioning
during the day.
Right.
You need a strong vocal technique, which I can give you. And also twice a year I give free workshops. And I give a free workshop because it's a kind of a truncated masterclass feel, but I feel strongly that if people are going to study with me, they really need to know who I am, what I'm about, get a feel for who I am as a person and as a teacher. And I think I found that to be very successful. The people that fit and match, it's kind of that whole law of attraction thing.
Right.
The teacher must find the student and the student the teacher.
Right.
They come and they experience a bit, and we get people up and we get them working so they can have a general idea of what they're getting into with my classes. And as I also have a book building session, you know, your book is for those who don't know, your musical theater audition book, and you need to have a fairly full book with many different genres of music.
Right.
Because, you know, you need contemporary Broadway,
traditional.
The traditional country western, occasionally last for
pop,
rock, you name
R&B.
It.
R&B. Right.
And you really need to have them all worked and in your book. And so I have a 3-session book building package, which will help you build an audition songbook full of material that's right for you and the new unique talents that you have to offer. And as I said, I've just also finished creating Elisa's Ultimate Warm-Up tape, which is available online at singforthestage.com. So if you want to develop and strengthen your voice, singing voice, this is the only warm-up I personally think you'll ever need because I'm very proud of it. And you can use it before an audition, a performance, or simply to promote daily vocal health. I have a lot of people who love the tape. They're amateur singers, and they just really want to learn how to sing properly and get good breath control and vocal placement. And so I found that if you use the exercises on a regular basis, you'll get, you know, greater vocal agility, range, strength, and confidence. And it's a great way to invest in your voice.
So, and that can be accessed by people who don't live in New York or L.A.?
Absolutely.
Or...
All you have to do is go to singforthestage.com. Okay. That's singforthestage.com to the homepage, and you'll see Elisa's Ultimate Warm-Up there. And it's, can I say how much it is, or is that something they need to go and check out on the site?
That's up to you. That's up to you.
It's $19.95 plus shipping and handling. So if you just go and you pop on the site, you can order it directly there, and it'll be sent out to you within a week. And I have to say, it's one of the things I'm proudest of because, as I said, they used to make fun of me giggling in London. But to me, it is the basis of everything.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have good technique, it doesn't matter if you get booked in a show. If you can't sing eight a week and you don't have the technique, you know, and if you're not in New York and you're not able to come,
right.
I have a couple of students actually that fly up a couple of times a year from Florida to study with me.
Okay.
And I do go do master classes throughout the states.
Oh, good for you. Okay.
But for the most part, most of my teaching is in New York City. So I'm always available. If people have questions about any of the vocal exercises, they can always give me a ring.
So, Elisa, tell us your phone number again.
347-277-0376.
Okay.
And if anyone has any questions regarding the vocal warm-up tape, you can always call me, and I'm more than willing to help out. Or you can email me at singforthestage.com.
Okay. Well, do you have any other final thoughts?
You know, I do. I encourage anyone thinking of a career in the musical theater to follow their vision and to go for it. And this is something it's a wonderful quote by Oscar Wilde, which I always tell my students at the beginning of each class, and I like to share it with them because I think it says it all perfectly. And the quote is, "The true artist is a man who believes absolutely in himself because he is absolutely himself."
Mm.
And if you subscribe to that and are able to incorporate it into your life and into your artistry, there's no way you can't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great way to end.
Me too. Oh, thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
Elisa, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome.
Okay.